Grace, peace, and mercy are yours from our God,
Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Amen. Well, the past number of weeks have been rather hectic for me and my family. We've been gone a lot, as you probably have noticed. Some for fun things and some for not necessarily so much fun. We drove out to Bremerton on Memorial Day to take household goods out to my son Paul, there and back in 3 days. Then we went on 2 weeks of vacation, driving to Portland, then the Oregon coast, through northern Washington. And then we went back to Portland last week for the district youth gathering. And quite honestly, I'm feeling a bit weary. I got better by Wednesday, but I'm still a bit weary. It's nice being in my own bed, though, I'll tell you. Now, don't get me wrong. All that was enjoyable. A lot of it was more enjoyable than others, but all of it was enjoyable. But really, all that time on the road was really a bit much. But isn't that often the way it is? Times that are supposed to be relaxing and restoring can leave you drained, can be much different than you expected them to be. But it isn't the long windshield time or trying to cram too much into a short space of time that can make those times difficult, is it? A number of years ago, we experienced that very thing when visiting my family out in Bellingham. My parents live in a beautiful place. It's situated at the foot of Mount Baker, and it's near the ocean, so when we pulled everybody together and started heading out there, we went out thinking that, boy, this is going to be a great time for all of us. We'll get a chance to spend time with my parents, with my brother, and with his family. And it was good, but the day before we left, I mentioned that things had seemed rather tense and wondered if something might be wrong. And the discussion began calmly, but it quickly escalated to angry words and hurt feelings. Apparently, there were unresolved difficulties between my father and brother and me, and all of that just came tumbling out in a rush of emotion. And I'm guessing that many of you have probably experienced similar things in your lives and your families as well. In our epistle reading this morning, we heard that probably the greatest promise in the Bible. Filled with the confidence of faith, St. Paul says that without exception, all things that a Christian goes through in this life will be worked out for his or her good. That there is nothing in this world that God cannot or will not bring good out of for those who love and who are loved by God. But as wonderful as that promise is, it may well be one of God's hardest promises to believe. In all things, God works for good. How can anything good come out of family members arguing and fighting? What kind of good can come out of bombings and terrorism? Where's the good when family or friends are sick or dying? That promise, In all things, God works for good, is a great promise, but it can be so very hard to believe and trust. Now, the context of Paul's words here in Romans is very important. You see, trust in God would be very easy if life didn't have any problems. And the verses prior to this promise make it clear that life isn't easy. Paul says such things as this. He says, "For I consider that the sufferings of this present time are not worth comparing to the glory that is to be revealed to us." And then he goes on, "For the whole creation waits with eager longing to be set free from its bondage to corruption and has been groaning together in the pains of childbirth until now." And not only the creation, but we ourselves groan inwardly as we wait eagerly for the redemption of our bodies. In this hope, we are saved. But hope that is seen is not hope. For who hopes what he sees? God doesn't ignore or make light of the hard facts of life. He doesn't say that all things will be good. In fact, quite the opposite. He says here in Romans and throughout his word that the whole creation has been affected by sin. And because of that, our world is full of brokenness. Brokenness that hurts us and burdens his people. That we will experience events which, without his aid, we would most certainly be crushed. Paul certainly experienced hardships in life. His own people rejected and tried to kill him. He was cursed by many. He was ridiculed. He was beaten and imprisoned. You know, there must have been many times that Paul was compelled to repeat the word of the psalmist who wrote, "Call upon me in the day of trouble. I will deliver you and you will honor me." And to hold on to that promise for dear life. Paul's life was filled with troubles, the likes of which you and I will never experience, God willing. And yet he was able to write with confidence that everything he endured would ultimately be for good and for the glory of God. You see, Christianity it doesn't look at life through rose-colored glasses. Author Gene Veith makes the point in his book, The Spirituality of the Cross, that Christianity is spirituality for real life. We don't stick our heads in the sand and ignore the bad things of the world, nor do we simply go through life glibly muttering empty phrases to try to make ourselves feel better. As Christians, we readily acknowledge that bad things happen, things that hurt us and others deeply. But when they do, we also know that we have a God who loves us and who promises to give us strength in the face of those difficulties. Again, as the psalmist said, "Because he loves me, says the Lord, I will rescue him. I will protect him, for he acknowledges my name. He will call upon me and I will answer him. I will be with him in trouble. I will deliver him and honor him." You know, athletes have a saying, "No pain, no gain." In other words, if you want to get any benefit from working out, if you want to get stronger, if you want to have a chance to win, it's not going to come easily. You must be willing to work hard. But they say because of the pain, you can expect the gain. Well, God puts it a little differently. He promises that though you will have pain in this life, he will give you gain. When we experience difficulty and pain, though, and we all do, he promises to bring good out of it, but his promise is that his blessing does not become because of the pain, but in spite of it. There once was a man who had been betrayed and then wrongly accused of a crime who spent many years in prison. Finally, through a series of what appeared to be simple coincidences, this man was released, and he became a source of great blessing to his family and many others. God worked a blessing out of betrayal and an act of injustice. You know who I'm talking about? Who would I be talking about? Who do you think I'm talking about? Somebody who was betrayed, and yet God worked those events to bring about great blessing. Could be almost any character of the Bible, isn't it? You may be thinking about Joseph, son of Jacob in the book of Genesis. His life certainly contained many of these elements. He was sold into slavery by his brothers. He was wrongly accused of attempted rape in Egypt and sent to prison. But through a series of events, he was released. And then, even more unlikely, he became the second most powerful man in Egypt, second only to Pharaoh, which allowed him to save his father along with the very ones, those stinking brothers, who sold him into slavery. He could have chalked all of that up to coincidence. But he believed that God was behind everything he experienced, and he was finally able to say to his brothers, "You intended to harm me, but God intended it for good, to accomplish what is now being done, the saving of many lives." Little did Joseph know that the many lives included not just his family, but you and me since Jesus Christ. Because from his family would ultimately become our Savior. Too bad that kind of stuff doesn't happen anymore today. but it does. Actually, one of the guy that I was thinking about when I first introduced this illustration is a man by the name of Harold Morris. And he's the subject of a book titled Twice Pardoned. I don't know if has anybody here ever read that? It's an older book. In 1968, he was out with a couple of friends, and they asked him to wait. He was driving. He asked him to wait while they went into a store. They were going to go pick some stuff up. And a few minutes later, they came running out of the store, shouting at Harold to take off. And unbeknownst to Harold Morris, those men had gone into the store not to buy something, but to rob the store. And when they did, they also shot and killed the owner. They seemed to have gotten away with it, but a year later, those men pinned the crime on Harold, and he was sentenced to two life sentences. 29 years old, Harold Morris began serving time for a crime he didn't commit in one of the worst federal prisons in our country. When he entered that prison, a guard told him, "Take a good look at the front door of the prison, because you will die here. You will never be free again." And for years, Morris ranted at God. He dared him to exist, and on one occasion, when a man tried to share God's love with him, he threw the water from his toilet into the man's face. But 5 years after he had arrived, 5 years of bitterness and hatred, Harold Morris had all he could stand. He was all alone. He was a broken and desperate man, and he was seriously contemplating suicide. His family didn't know that he was in prison. He simply disappeared one day, for all they knew. Out of shame, he had never told his family where he was. As far as they knew, he was simply on the moon. But then the most unlikely thing happened. While reading a 5-year-old copy of True Detective magazine, a member of his family discovered what had happened to Harold. And eventually, through his brother and a former classmate, Harold came to know God's forgiveness and love and mercy in Christ. He still was not out of prison. Harold served God in prison. There he led Bible studies. He helped other convicts know Christ's grace. He was even selected to speak at local schools to students about the seriousness of prison life and to use those opportunities to tell of the love that God had shown to him. And then unbelievably, 5 years after coming to faith, 10 years after entering Georgia State Penitentiary, Harold Morris gained parole. And even more amazingly, 3 years later, he was granted a full pardon. Now, after his release, Harold studied and actually received a degree in religious studies. And at the age of 79, he continues to work with young people, prisoners, churches, sharing the love of God. Can God bring good out of a seemingly hopeless situation? I think Harold Morris would answer that with a resounding, "He sure can." Now, you may not have a story like that, but every one of you has stories where God has worked in your life, has done things that you just thought, man, life's just gone down the tubes. That's never going to be fixed. And yet God has changed that. You might be in a situation right now like that, where life is just, it just feels like it's out of control. And you're being called to trust that God is in the work, that he's there, that he's still there, and he's working in your life. Well, he can. God is able to do the impossible because he is the redeemer, the one who buys things back, the one who can redeem any circumstance and bring blessing out of it. And that was most wonderfully demonstrated in the way he brought about our salvation. You know, when Jesus died on the cross, everybody thought it was over. They'd followed this man for 3 years, and he's gone. Now, Satan and his demons, they believed that they'd finally won. His disciples were despondent. They were hiding from the authorities, fearfully anticipating their own arrest and execution. It truly appeared that with Jesus' death, all the promises of God died as well. But in Christ's death and resurrection, God brought the greatest blessing ever. As he reconciled himself to the world, redeemed life from death and grave, and gave us the promise that nothing can separate us from his love. As Paul says in the words immediately following that text, he says, "What then? What then shall separate us from these? What shall then shall we say to these things? If God is for us, Who can be against us? He who did not spare his own son, but gave him up for all of us, how will he not also, with him graciously, give us all things? As people in this world, and as God's people, we are called upon to recognize and freely admit that life is filled with difficulties. But God promises that in spite of that pain and suffering, he will bring good. He will bless. Now, I know that God wasn't pleased with the hurt and the anger that came as a result of the words that were spoken when I was home with my family many years ago. But I also have seen how he could heal our relationships in spite of the pain brought by anger and hurtful words. Through many difficult times, he's drawn us closer as a family, and we've been able to experience the forgiveness that he gave us to share with one another. Again, I'm sure many of you have experienced this in your life as well. And if you haven't, I believe you will at some point in your life. Maybe you're too young yet. And in those times, when things look so difficult, when things look so bleak, in those times, God wants you to live in the peace that comes from the confidence that He will fulfill his promise to bring good. Yes, in all things. Yes, even in that thing. Amen.